The Tourism Biz Bites from the 7 podcast is brought to you by RTO7 in partnership with Community Future South Georgian Bay and with generous support from Tourism Simcoe County. For more information about the T3 Accelerator Coaching Program, visit rto7.ca.
A lot of the work that I've done over the course of my career has really been about the public good. And this 11 Rooms is really no different. It's just got a really different packaging around it. We did want to be a place for creative people to come and get amazing, new, inspiring ideas and feel energized and inspired and excited by the environment that they're in.
Welcome to the T3 Accelerator Podcast, the podcast for tourism businesses in Tourism Region 7. That's the tourism region that covers Bruce, Gray, and Simcoe County in Ontario, Canada. I'm your host, Tracy Sternad. In this episode, I'll chat with serial entrepreneur Sandra Cahale, who just opened a stunning boutique hotel and retreat space in downtown Collingwood. And she'll give us a behind-the-scenes tour of her new business, the elegant and eclectic 11 Rooms. Okay, so I'm here in a cozy nook of the brand new space called 11 Rooms in downtown Collingwood. So tell me your name and tell me what you do.
So I'm Sandra Cahale, and I'm one of the co-owners of 11 Rooms. I'm also a facilitator and a trainer and a communication strategist. And I'm involved in a couple of other businesses that are totally unrelated, including a scuba diving accessories business and a graphic design company where I serve as chief strategist.
So how did you get involved in the T3 program?
So when I reached out to Jillian, eventually kind of one thing led to another, and I ended up signing up to be part of this T3 accelerator program. And she set me up with a mentor. It's funny because for years I've been a proponent of mentorship, and yet technically I've never really had a mentor. And I reached out to Jillian and said, I'm about to do something that I have literally no idea how to do. Like, I'm starting from zero and I for sure am gonna need some support. And so she jumped right in right away and was like, you know, once you're ready, like, I've got all kinds of people I can set you up with. We've got all kinds of supports. They've been nothing but helpful in terms of helping us to hook up with the right people.
Tell me about your journey to becoming involved in so many different ventures.
I actually started my career in the public service, working for the federal government and then the provincial government and for a couple of offices of the legislature. I have a background in privacy and in democratic renewal. And so a lot of the work that I've done over the course of my career has really been about the public good. And this 11 Rooms is really no different. It's just got a really different packaging around it. So I left government, I wanna say 20 years ago. And since then, I did a little stint in management consulting and then eventually fell in love, moved to Collingwood. There were not a lot of jobs in Collingwood, particularly at that time. This would have been 11, 12 years ago, for a woman such as myself. And so I set about starting my own business. What I started 11 years ago here in Collingwood was a writing business. And that, over the years, kind of morphed into more training and facilitation. I have a lot of interest in and a knack for facilitating masterminds and peer-to-peer learning. So I've done some of that up here as well. And actually, 11 Rooms is kind of born out of some of the work that for a few years now I've been running what I finally just accepted calling networking parties for entrepreneurs. I used to try and call them learning events or something like that, but they're really just parties.
I want to know why you started 11 Rooms. I mean, you have so many different skill sets, you're great at networking and bringing people together. How did you turn that into a hotel and retreat business?
My networking parties, which are called confabs, were being held at my cottage, which is in Uxbridge. And people would come up for the day, often not leaving until well into the night. So even though, you know, the advertised kind of hours of these events was something like 11 till 4, people were not leaving until 7 or 8 or 9 or midnight. And just because there was so much energy in the conversations that people were having and so much opportunity to really, you know, a lot of networking events that you go to, you have 10 minutes maybe with someone or 15 minutes. And then your next thing is that you have to find a way to book a coffee date. And then you have to do that a couple of times before you kind of feel like you know each other and you can sort of move forward. What was happening at confabs is that people were spending the whole day together. They would grab the kayaks, go out and come back with, you know, a $10,000 deal in their pockets, or they would go hiking and cook up a great new collaboration over the course of an hour or two. What people started to say to me at those events was, it'd be so great if this was like a sleepover situation. It'd be so great if you were running like a confab summer camp. It'd be so great if there was a clubhouse. As those messages from the confab community started to come around, it just felt like a natural, sort of felt like a natural fit. Having said that, we were not looking for a place like this. This place landed in our laps, more or less.
Okay, so the hotel is beautiful. The space is stunning. This was an old building that you've meticulously renovated. So tell me about the history of the building that is now 11 rooms.
11 rooms used to be a rooming house, and it operated as a rooming house for a really, really long time. We've had lovely people in the neighborhood drop by who used to live in the rooming house and were curious about what we were doing with it. And so that's been really nice. And one of the things that I love hearing is that when it was a rooming house, the man who owned it was very community-minded, very generous, very kind man. And he would bring food and kind of have these little impromptu parties and gatherings for all the people who lived here. He apparently never raised the rent in 15 years. So it had a real community vibe. Eventually it was shut down, as I understand, mostly for fire code violations. There were insufficient exits from the upper floor. So that's something we had to do when we bought the building. But each room that you see here used to have a complete kitchen. They all have the bathrooms. I mean, obviously we've made them nicer, but they all had bathrooms to begin with. And people were living in these rooms. So there was a lot of work to be done in kind of transforming it.
All right, so tell me about the design process and how you pulled it all together.
So the design process has been really interesting and has actually been a, what do we want to call that? Like a microcosm of what we're trying to do in this space every day, all the time. So when we built 11 rooms, because I'm a facilitator, because I'm interested in collaboration, I'm interested in community, I'm interested in how people connect. And so as we started to work on the design in this space, it was entirely a collaborative project. So Amy, our business partner, is a glass blower. And she's made all of the knobs that are in the space. She's also the one who designed the tile work in all of our hallways, which is intricate in the extreme. And she also created some of the lamps. There's some great needlepoint artwork that she's sending our way. And so she is just a creative force, kind of from top to bottom. We also, and she, one of the things that she's incredibly good at is color. And so she's had a lot of influence in terms of like, people come into the space and they're like, whoa, I would never have thought to put those colors together. That she's been a lot of the, you know, on the one hand, the inspiration for that. And on the other hand, also kind of the permission giver for that. Because I think that when somebody tells you that it's okay to really play with color, it just invites a kind of risk-taking that you might not otherwise have done. So that was one of the things that very early on started to differentiate us, I think, from some of the other spaces around town, is that we did want to be a place for creative people to come and get amazing, new, inspiring ideas and feel energized and inspired and excited by the environment that they're in. And so we really went at it, no holds barred.
So let's take the grand tour. Show us 11 rooms.
Okay, so this is room one, and this is one of the rooms that we call kind of our standard hotel style room. So this room back in the day when this was a rooming house, this room would have had a full kitchen and this bathroom. We took the kitchens out. This room is just set up to be just a really comfortable workspace. You know, when we think about creating an environment for creative people, we really want to speak to all the senses. We really want to speak to. So we're just waiting on our aromatherapy things that are arriving soon. Mm-hmm. But we really wanted people to not just have things to look at, but also things to feel. So you see things like the different textures of the rugs, the runners, the knobs. So this room, this is one of our sort of most popular rooms.
Incredible.
So it's just waiting on a new desk is coming tomorrow for this space. But this room has wallpaper that goes all the way across the ceiling, and it just makes you feel so cozy.
Yeah.
So this room, we've had great feedback about this room, just feeling like a very private retreat. And you'll see in here that same yellow tile that we liked so much downstairs. Mm. So this room is the smallest room, and it's also my favorite. So this room would have had, just like all the others, would have had a full kitchen,
I think you're gonna love the bathroom in here. Let me.
We can't ignore the tasseled light piece.
No.
And, I feel like this would be Holly Go Lightly, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
This was our most controversial bathroom. So it's got pink tile and red grout. But it turned out just beautifully. And the wallpaper really pulled it together.
Wow.
So this room is, it's always been my favorite. From the beginning, I had said to everyone, let's think about this room like it's a jewel box. Mm. And the person who's sleeping in it is the gem.
The hardest part for your guests is deciding which room to pick.
They're
all so cool.
It's fun. There's a room for everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this T3 Accelerator podcast episode. These podcasts are possible through the great coaches and businesses participating in the T3 Accelerator coaching program, being willing to share their expertise and experiences. A shout out to the numerous T3 Accelerator partners and sponsors, in particular RTO7, Community Future South Georgian Bay, and Tourism Simcoe County. More information on T3 Accelerator can be found on the rto7.ca website and clicking on T3 Accelerator. We hope you take action on at least one tip or idea you picked up in this episode, and that the information shared with you helps your business. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy Sternad.